You're listening to the Full and Thriving Podcast, a place where courageous women come to break free from food obsession, heal their relationship with their body, and strive to live a life that's present, lighthearted, and meaningful. If you're listening, my wish is that this podcast serves as a catalyst that inspires you to nourish your body, nurture your mind, and energize your spirit. I'm your host, Meg McCabe, a certified life coach and eating disorder recovery coach with a PhD in having a good time. Just kidding about that last part. Anyway, thank you so much for listening and enjoy the show. Today's guest is Deborah Benfield. Deborah is a registered dietitian nutritionist with a 35-year career in helping women heal their relationship with food, eating, and their bodies. Her work is trauma-informed and rooted with the intention of helping her clients feel at home in their bodies once again. During this episode, we discuss the intersection of pro-aging and body liberation. We talk about the pressures women feel to look young forever and how to embrace the natural aging process. I have never spoken in depth about aging on this show before, so I really can't wait to start this important conversation with Deb today. I know you are going to love it. Hello, Deb. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Meg, for having me. I'm excited to have this conversation with you and your audience.
We are all so excited. This is a topic we have not touched on the podcast yet, so I am thrilled to have you on the show. As a woman in her 30s, it's already impacting me.
Yes.
And it's an interesting topic that I know I'm going to learn a lot from, and I'm sure everyone who has the privilege of getting older is going to want to hear about. So I'm really excited. So thank you.
Me too. Any chance I get to talk about this, the combination of body liberation and recovery and trying to prevent relapse with all the aging and pro-aging conversation is my favorite thing. So glad to talk about it.
Love that. All right. Well, before we dive into all of that, I'd love if you could please share some of your background. So how did you get into being an anti-dietitian with a pro-aging advocacy side?
Yes. Well, the first part, of course, the anti-diet stuff happened first. And I'm just really fortunate. When I went into my career, I started referring clients to therapists, and the therapists really enjoyed sharing clients with me. So I ended up working in a therapist practice, and my supervisor, my first supervisor, was a therapist rather than a dietitian who specialized in eating disorders. So way early in my career, I learned about the harm and all of the toxicity in diet culture. And then, of course, when you go there, you start understanding about wellness culture. And then I've been in this field more than 35 years. So when I hit 60, that I got really curious about the latest research on just how to take the best care of yourself as you age. And whew, I did not like what I hit, because everything that I was reading was so, in my opinion, very focused on dieting and managing weight and fear of weight gain and then all the wellness mess. And I was like, I need to figure out another way, and started vetting the most popular books and podcasts and such, and then realized I needed to create something. So that's what I've done. Let's kind of try to find the most recent research around aging and how to support yourself as you age, while also making it safe for consumers, especially women who have had their own history with chronic dieting and eating disorders, disordered eating. You know, trying to find completely different ways to talk about this so that folks don't get caught up in what was their previous struggles. If that makes sense.
Yes. And correct me if I'm wrong. I know I heard this a while ago, but The top two age groups of individuals who have eating disorders, we have the adolescent population and then mm-hmm. the population of women going through menopause. And do you have anything you'd like to share about that? Because I find that fascinating.
Yeah. And I wonder about new moms too, because I think those three particular times in a woman's life are kind of vulnerable when it comes to your body changing pretty quickly and you experiencing all of those changes, feeling like you aren't being able to control any of it, and the culture pressuring you so much about, of course, controlling how you look and how much that sets you up for diet culture and trying to keep your body frozen in a certain size and shape. So I think that puts women at risk. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I'm really curious about new moms as well. My sister had a baby 2 weeks ago and we both have eating disorder history. So I'm curious how that's going to look in her life. Hopefully she's protected from falling back in any way, but I could imagine that could be so triggering for women as well.
And I, of course, think I think women's bodies are amazing and powerful, but those three times are also really powerful times when you see that your body is capable of so much. So it's more than a little bit upsetting. I think your show is clean, so I'm going to try to use clean language.
Oh, thank you. You don't have to.
But sometimes I want to say other kinds of words around this because I get really angry about the fact that it feels like there's a push against the power that we have in our own bodies, right? That's a systemic issue. Yeah.
Yeah, completely systemic issue. Well, I'm glad you're doing the work that you do. And to help the listeners just learn a little bit more about the basics, could you elaborate on the concept of pro-aging and what exactly that means and what makes this a revolutionary concept?
Yeah. And it's just so interesting to me. The more I study this, the more fascinated I get. And the more I experience kind of deja vu when it comes to working in a non-diet, weight-inclusive way, it's so similar because the cultural push is anti-aging, right? The products and the billions of dollars that consumers are spending globally around trying to freeze themselves in time is like truly called anti-aging. So the concept of embracing the power of what I consider to be a new chapter, like menopause kind of sends you into a whole new way of looking at yourself and your body and the time that you have, the resource of time and energy that you have. And what would it be like to reclaim all of that instead of falling into line with all the anti-aging? I mean, you could completely consume yourself with trying to both manage your size and manage your appearance with anti-aging products and programs. Yeah. So that's why pro-aging is quite a different tack. Even though I think I feel myself getting pulled on a different tangent here, but I'm just going to mention that there's also risk in looking at pro-aging, because if you really look at pro-aging accounts, one of my pet peeves is how much thinness there is. So much thinness in the pro-aging community. So be careful, consumers. Try to be wise, because there's a lot of what looks like the same kind of body, the same thin beauty ideal is upheld, just with silver hair. So it's confusing. It's very confusing. It feels like the pressure to be thin continues on and may even increase, it seems, as you age. And we can talk about all the reasons for that too. There's a lot to talk about around. I mean, this is kind of a bridge into a different question, which is, does aging and does menopause put you into even more risk to fall into dieting or your old eating disorder thoughts and behaviors? That was kind of a bridge to a different conversation.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So why is that thinness in the pro-aging community so problematic? Why do you think that's, I know it is, but I'm curious to hear your expertise around what harm is that causing to individuals as they age?
Well, I think the fears that live in us about aging include fear of losing social currency, relevance, not belonging any longer, feeling like you've lost any sense of power and presence and visibility culturally. So if you think about like the hierarchy that we live in, with a thin ideal being at the top and youth being there with it and all the other privileges, whiteness, being able-bodied, being cisgendered, you know, the list of things that we hold up as ideal. And when you're anything other than that, you're marginalized and therefore feeling like you don't belong. So if there's anything that you can do to pass for the ideal, and that would include looking younger, so all the anti-aging products become more attractive, and certainly thinner, because if you can stay thin, perhaps you'll remain more relevant. Perhaps you'll be seen as aging well, in air quotes. You know, the pressure to stay within our ideal, within relevance for our culture, increases as we age, as we get older. And part of that is the drive for thinness. So it increases your risk of going back to dieting, because if you listen to anybody that's talking about women in menopause, and it's a really loud conversation right now, the focus is on belly fat and all of the terrible things.
Wow.
About belly fat. So of course, women are going to try to do all that they can to control that, even though their body is actually going the other way, just like it does when you are in puberty. Just like it does, your body is changing because our bodies are supposed to change. It's very natural and normal. So we white knuckle around that, and that sends us into diet culture. And for a lot of us, that means back to old disordered eating, back to old chronic dieting.
Can you explain what exactly happens to women's bodies when they do age? And why is it kind of unrealistic to hold yourself to the same standard you did, maybe the same body standards you did when you were younger?
Yeah. Well, I want to say here that the older we get, the more unique we are. Older groups of people are the most heterogeneous group of people that exists, because we've had more diverse experiences, more diverse disease process or experiences with diet, experiences with weight, experiences with having children or not, experiences with different genetics. There's so many things that affect us. It's so multifactorial, as you know. So there isn't one way that we age. We're all so different. And so the thing that we have in common is that it is true, no matter what you do, is that your metabolism slows down. Now, there is a shift and change in that with your genetics, with your diet history, as we know, with any medications you may be taking, with what composition your body has from past exercise or your genetics or present exercise. There are many different things that affect our composition, but all of those things go into the equation around metabolic change. But overall, as you age, your metabolism changes at different rates for different people. But that's probably the biggest thing that we all have in common. And I think what the hormone changes do is a question mark. I don't think we have good solid science. Most people are saying, we don't know why. We don't know. But I've worked with a lot of women in this more than 35 years, and I have my own body as a reference point. The shape of your body changes as you age. Yeah, it just does.
And what do you have to say to people who are in resistance to that change?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I think resistance to that change equals struggle and heartache and getting kind of stuck. I mean, we know that resiliency and having some level of acceptance with change that is the nature of life to change actually equals mental health. So resisting that can set you up for some real, I could say mental illness, but mental struggle, distress, I would say.
Yeah, distress.
Yeah.
I imagine some suffering too, because so much of it's under control. Maybe what used to work dieting wise, you know, quote, you know, like your body is probably so different.
I hear that phrase so often. Yes.
Interesting.
What used to work no longer works. And what does works mean? I mean, manipulate things to be able to control your body size and shape, right? And as time passes, sometimes people get more and more and more aggressive. And certainly if you look at social media, there's a lot of support for more and more aggressive exercise, more and more aggressive restriction, intermittent fasting, long list of things. Avoiding carbohydrates, of course, is right up there with that controlling your belly fat. You can drive yourself pretty crazy trying to do that. Yeah.
And do you find that eating disorders that appear in the older population are most of them relapses from a previously existing eating disorder, or are they newly occurring because of all the changes that the body goes through?
I see both. I see both. And I don't know that we have any data to refer to, and I wish we did. I hope that that will be something that we actually care enough about to look for, because I do think women in midlife and older are left out of a lot of the research. So I don't have hard data, I only have my experience with clients, and I hear both.
Yeah.
And I'm very afraid that there are a lot of women suffering in silence that are like, what they're doing is getting them so much affirmation that, I mean, you're looking great. You know how this is, you know, you haven't changed one bit, like you haven't aged at all, those kinds of statements that keep women like, whoa, this is working. I need to keep doing it. That all of the hours I'm spending doing these exercise programs and restricting is paying off. So it's motivating. And they may even hear that from providers, you know that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the same story that the younger generation gets, all of that reinforcement, all of the praise, just nightmare all over again, apparently.
And it's really what I hear so many women say. It's like, I'm having these, I'm almost feeling panicked because it's feeling so familiar. Like, I was hospitalized when I was in high school. I, you know, was able to recover, and now I can feel it all coming back. I hear that so many times because the pressure is increasing. You would think it would be going the other way, but, and maybe for some women it is.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of women that are calling me that are feeling the pressure that reminds them of their old disordered thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned a few key words, like you mentioned social currency. Right? And you mentioned, what was it? Relevance. And I feel like when you are an adolescent, your social currency is so much focused on size and beauty. Right. That sometimes if, you know, if you lead with that, that's what makes you relevant. And I'm guessing, like, as you age, you're still fighting that fight to remain relevant, quotes, remain relevant and have that social currency. And so what is it like for women who are losing that? And how do you help women start to kind of unlearn those beliefs?
Hey, Full and Thriving fam. I wanted to let you in on something super exciting. We're welcoming new members inside the Recovery Collective for a limited time between September 20th and October 1st.
be sure to mark your calendars and go to recoverycollective.mykajabi.com to get on the wait list. Curious to know what it's like inside? Here's what our current members are saying.
My favorite part about the Recovery Collective is that as of joining about a year ago, I finally realized how important it is to have a community in recovery.
It was definitely a turning point for me to finally talk to someone who's understanding.
The people in the Recovery Collective are some of the most lovely, supportive people I've ever met.
If you're thinking about joining the Recovery Collective, I have two words to say to you. Do it. Literally just give it a chance. I think you will be surprised in the most wonderful way.
Make the jump and join. It's honestly one of the best things I ever did, and I've made some of my best friends from around the world.
It's a safe place for me. I know I can say anything and never get judged for it, and I feel that we all truly care about each other.
Well, there you have it. Our members have spoken. And I might be a little biased, but I think our community is pretty great too. For more information, check out the link in the show notes and make sure you sign up for the waiting list so you can be the first to join our community between September 20th and October 1st.
Yeah, I think that's such a great question. I think it's a combination of things. I think helping women realize that, and this may be way wider than you were looking for.
Okay.
I believe that menopause is this beautiful opportunity to let all that stuff fall away that has dictated a role for you so that you can actually become who you were in your girlhood, become your more authentic, truest self. It's a beautiful opportunity, but it takes some courage, right? It takes some courage to lean into your truest self because it may not be what your friends and family are accustomed to. Likely, is it? So again, I'm trying to keep your program clean, but The phrase that a lot of us are embracing is giving zero fucks. I mean, there is this tendency to care a little less, not for everybody. Some people feel pressured to fall in line and worry more about their social relevance. But there's also the opportunity to, what if you let yourself be who you really are now? What would that be like? Yeah, there's some great power in that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that reframe. It's very empowering. And what a relief it must be like to feel like, okay, maybe menopause isn't so scary. Because I've heard some terrifying stories from the media.
That fear-mongering just keeps happening. Fear-mongering and how that drives wellness culture and diet culture.
Yeah, there's
and
a lot
anti-aging. Of fear-mongering.
Yep. And I do love the idea of seeing it as an opportunity to shed kind of a lot of oppressive mindsets and beliefs and break free and be that person who is most authentic to you. I love that. Do you have any examples from your practice of individuals who have kind of embraced their authentic self after working with you?
Yes. I, of course, am going to keep everybody's identity to myself, but I'm thinking of two women right now who are in, I have a group coaching program and I have a membership for those that go through that program. And these women have done a lot of work in this past year to do exactly that. And they are finding themselves really pivoting into a new chapter and finding a lot of access to their own energy and their own brain space now that they were frightened that they were going to go into relapse. And they've been successful in shifting out of that and giving themselves their own attention and their own care and their own energy. And they feel, you may want more specifics, but I want to make sure that people are not hearing themselves be talked about on the show. But one is starting their own business, a new online business, and the other is taking a sabbatical from an academic position and spending some time writing. So they're both putting their energy into a different part of their identity and letting go of overexercise and giving themselves more variety in their food choice, and they're feeling themselves have more energy and more clarity and thought. I know that you've probably heard this many times, but when the brain is underfed, the kinds of symptoms that you experience are very similar to the experiences women talk about in menopause. That brain fog, that problems with memory, irritability, feeling like, you know, your anxiety's up, you can't sleep, very much the same. So sometimes I wonder if all of this restriction that women are doing to kind of do what they can to prevent belly fat isn't contributing to some of their symptoms. What if they're not making everything worse by all of their restriction? So what I'm hearing women talk about is like so much more stability in their body, mind, spirit when they let all that go and they're nourishing themselves and they're caring for themselves in a more attuned way rather than following a restrictive plan. Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful.
I love hearing that. It is so beautiful.
It is beautiful. It makes me so happy.
Yes, I love that. I love hearing people tapping into a new level of freedom.
Yes, that's it.
And I think that's just such a beautiful way to think about aging.
Mm-hmm. And as a 64-year-old woman, I just always want to tell women that you feel so much better on the other side. I promise. You'll feel so much better. Perimenopause, I mean, it's still so varied. People have different levels of all of the symptoms. It comes and goes. It's quite the ride. Sometimes people have very few symptoms. Some people really have a hard time. And then that transition can be tricky, like most transitions. And then when you're more settled into this, like postmenopause, you can feel a lot better. And I think it really does depend on how you're nourishing yourself. You're nourishing yourself adequately. That's my number one issue, is that I think people are undernourished.
Interesting. So if you want your menopause to go more smoothly, it makes sense to be nourishing yourself, which sounds obvious, but the messaging of the all communities, anti-aging and pro-aging apparently, is to diet.
And I mean, you know how popular cutting your carbs is, especially when you're trying to do this belly fat thing. And the brain needs carbs. The brain has to have carbs, and it helps you feel less anxious and more stable and sleep better. You know, many of the symptoms that people struggle with, I think people feel better when they're nourished well. Yeah.
Wow. So what are your thoughts? I'm also really curious on like skin care and wrinkles and people like fear mongering around that and shaming women for that, where you see men who are able to freely age and they're called like silver foxes, and women are just shamed for looking older. You see that in the media all the time.
Yeah.
How does that play into all of this?
Yeah. More pressure around misogynistic ageism. I mean, it's just the truth. My greatest hope, because I really believe this is happening, I believe there is a shift taking place. I think this is being addressed. I think it's being called out and spoken to. And I'm hoping that by the time you arrive where I am, this will be like laughable. That people will look back on it and say, that's just not how it is anymore. That's my hope, is that truly our bodies and our appearance are going to be part of how things are talked about. Because I think previous efforts around equality and addressing misogyny left out our bodies. I think diet culture was never challenged. And so I'm hoping that now there's some space for allowing bodies, including skin, to age as it ages. I want women to feel like they have access to choices. I'm not going to judge and shame anybody for making the choice to have work done or to have to do Botox or whatever the thing might be. I want people to be able to make the choices to have bodily autonomy as they age. But I'm hoping there's less pressure over time.
Me too. I would love that. It would be so nice if things are safer for me when I get to be your age.
I'm hopeful. And I think, why not? I think there are enough people talking about it now that I think there is a movement. I just want the movement to include all of our bodies. I want the movement to include diverse bodies.
Wow. That's so true. It's just like when the body positivity movement started and you could see plus size women on the runway and everyone celebrated it, but they were perfectly hourglass shaped, gorgeous plus size women with like mermaid hair and perfect skin. And you're like, okay, like,
yeah, more pressure.
We're accepting some sizes, but not all sizes. It sounds like in the pro-aging world, that's what's happening too.
That's it. Exactly. It's okay for you to look older and have some wrinkles, some, and silver hair, but you still need to be thin and fit. Fit would be great.
Oh, so unfair. So unfair. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So as you know, people are listening, and as a professional coach, I love to help people with like some tangible takeaways, things they can start to do right after listening to this episode. So I'm curious, like if someone's starting this journey of accepting the aging process, what are some baby steps they can take to start to maybe feel better in their own skin and get to a place where they're that more liberated older woman instead of someone who's stuck in diet culture?
I'm going to reach for a book because I think there's a very small book, very accessible book that I think really is a beautiful starting place. It's written by Tracy Gendron. It's called Ageism Unmasked, Exploring Age Bias and How to End It. I think one of the first steps is to understand how internalized ageism is, that we all have it, that we've been exposed from the fairy tales that we heard when we were children about how scary the older woman was, right? And to understand that that's all internalized is such an important piece. And so other than that, I think what I tell everybody is to learn to relate to your body as your life partner instead of your life's project. This to really shift your relationship with your body actually supports your aging. Because if you are feeling adversarial toward your body, you will have a much harder time with aging.
So I love that commentary on thinking about your body as a life partner. Because when I think of a life partner, I think of being together through the ups and downs. Mm-hmm. I think of, you know, nurturing them when they're sick and being, you know, loving them through every phase of life. So I love how your body can be your own life partner. I think that's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
And listening and trusting and good healthy relationship. Yeah, precisely. And I also think it's important for women to understand that it's never too late. It's never too late to do this. You're never too old and it's never too late. I work with women in their 70s. It's really true that you can recover at any time until the very end.
When you're getting older, how do you help people rebuild that trust?
Yeah, I think I really do use relationship framing. People typically know how to have a healthy relationship, knowing that giving, in this case, yourself, but if you're thinking about a partner, giving your partner your attention listening is the starting place. So giving yourself, your body, your own attention, and encouraging that listening piece so that you actually can stop all of the rigid controlling, right? And shift into caring for, to replace control with care. Every time.
So brilliant. I love that. It's a quick reminder, replace control with care.
That's it.
It's all ages too.
Yes, that's the centerpiece.
It's so easy to think of too. Like, I love the idea of care versus control. I think
It works.
Yeah.
It works. It's a really beautiful way to live your life. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I love that. So another thing I'm curious about is like building resilience in women when they're getting bombarded by the media and like even these pro-aging accounts that are really fat phobic. Like, how do you help women build that resistance? Do you have any strategies or ideas for them as they move forward? Because I feel like when you are, maybe you've gone through recovery before, you have to be protective of yourself, make sure you're not re-triggered or all of that. So what are your thoughts there?
And I think you probably have talked about this many times, but being really good at setting boundaries and the protective type that you're talking about, in like being careful about your exposure to certain accounts, don't fall for it, just mute, unfollow, block, do all the things you need to do to protect yourself from hearing it and seeing it over and over again. Because you will, if you're not intentional about protecting yourself, you'll be exposed and exposed and exposed. And sometimes it's the people in your life that you have to decide how you're going to set boundaries with. And sometimes it's your internalized voice, right? It's your internalized pushy critic that you have to set boundaries with and work through and with. So you're right. To create that resilience, you have to start with protecting your healthy self. Yeah. So not that easy.
Easy. Way easier said than done, I'm sure. Yeah,
exactly. And having some support for that. I mean, we need community. You can't do this by yourself. It's really hard to do it by yourself.
Absolutely. What do you have to say to, oh my gosh, there's like two people I'm thinking of. The woman who's like 70, who's excessively exercising, who's doing all the anti-aging Botox and fillers and, you know, eating a few almonds a day. You know, we've all seen this. What do you have to say to those ladies who are scared?
Yeah, they are scared. I think my experience has been they have to want to do things differently, right? You can't impose that. If they are interested in living in a different way, because it is such a choice, I have such respect for choice. If they're interested in no longer living this way, because it is not fun, right? It so much depends on if somebody becomes frightened about something different, perhaps may motivate them, or they may realize that they're missing out on their own energy, their own access to their own joy and pleasure. And I think that's a birthright. I mean, it's never too late to grab that again. It's the fear piece that you're talking about. It's the fear piece that I think we have to work through and perhaps befriend and accept that sometimes it's okay to be frightened because you are approaching the end of your life. And there's a lot of different ways to approach that. You can approach it with fear or you can approach it with acceptance and celebration. It becomes kind of a philosophical conversation at that point. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm hearing a lot of philosophical themes popping up, which is makes sense. Well, so much wisdom with age.
Right. That's where you are. I mean, now is the time. Now is the time to really look at what your values are and what your choices are. And the way I think about it is the boat is going to sink. We know that. How do you want to sail it? How do you want to sail the boat?
Wow. Yeah, that's true. We're all, you know, going to die.
It's going to sink. It's going to sink. How do you want to sail it?
Interesting question. Very, very neat there. So, you know, I'm really curious just because I know you have your finger on the pulse of the pro-aging space. Do you see any changes happening in the wellness or beauty industry that feel encouraging or positive to you?
Not yet. I think I many times feel like there are only a handful of us talking about this, but the conversation is happening. It's happening more and more and more. I mean, things like the Barbie movie are bringing the conversation. I mean, there was a scene with the older woman at the bus stop, right?
I love that.
Yes, it's starting to percolate up so that there's a chance to talk more about it. There was like the Martha Stewart on the Sports Illustrated cover. These conversations are starting to happen. So that's the good news, is that there's more conversations. There are more podcasts. There are more options. I think we have a very long way to go. But the conversations are starting. That's as far as I'm willing to go right now.
Man, I was hoping you'd have something hopeful for me.
Well, I think the fact that there are people questioning the status quo, I mean, just as there is in the non-diet space, it's the same. It's just that there are fewer of us. It's like, you know, I've been doing this work a long time. Back in the 80s, there were very few of us that were non-diet. So it reminds me of that time that we didn't have community yet, but then it happened. And now, you know, there is at least a community that is non-diet.
That's really good.
Yes. So
what steps can individuals take to start like promoting a more age-inclusive, pro-aging mindset within their community and life?
I mean, one thing is like what you and I are doing. You know, we're probably 30 years age difference. And I think having these intergenerational conversations and relationships so that people start to recognize that their idea of what 64 is may not jive with the human being in front of them that's 64, and vice versa. Ageism goes both ways. What I might believe about a 30-something really needs to be like checked with an individual that's like a human being that's maybe not what I was thinking of a 30-something. So having relationships, conversations, friendships, inclusion in your life of different ages is very powerful. I think probably the most powerful thing we can do. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I really love that because it's so true. I have this funny story come up in my head because when I was younger, my grandparents were really, really old, like much older than the average grandparent. Just my grandpa had my mom when he was 47. So
okay.
Older. So my idea of old was like oxygen tank and hearing aids. And
wow.
And so when I was interacting with folks who are like 70, I remember like yelling because I just assumed they couldn't hear. This was in my 20s. And then they're like, okay, I just remember feeling like, wow, my concept of that age is very different than what this person's concept of, you know, who they are at that age. So I don't know. It's funny that they like, you have to check your thoughts and beliefs about what that age means.
Exactly. And there's so much heterogeneity in this group. I mean, I mean, such a big difference. A person who is in their 40s can be functioning at a very different biological age, and a person in their 80s can be functioning at a very different biological age. So we all age so differently.
Wow. Yeah, that's truly fascinating.
Yes.
Okay, one question I have for you. I don't know if you've heard about the Golden Bachelor.
I have. I've never watched The Bachelor, but I don't know that I'll tune in, but I'm very curious about that phenomenon. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious too. I wasn't sure. It's, I think, coming out in several months from now, but they just started promoting it, and I was excited to see it.
Yeah, I'll be curious. I'm sure that we're all going to watch because it's going to be a phenomenon that we haven't seen before. Yeah. that I'm aware of. I'm not remembering any other time that we've seen this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So before I let you go, I just want to ask you also, what wisdom do you want to share to the younger listeners here today? And also the listeners who are of an older age, what would you like to say to them?
Yeah. I feel like I've already dropped all my things that I would say, that I've given all the advice that I would give. But I think it's really important. Everything that I've done, and I've been studying this deeply for about 4 years now, is that if you're younger, it's really important to look at your beliefs about aging, because you are going to age. You are aging. And if you are privileged and are able to reach like over 40, over 50, then, you know, the internalized ageism that you're living with now, if you have already disentangled yourself from those storylines, your aging will go much better. There is actually research that shows us, and this is true for all of us, that the beliefs that we have about aging can affect our own aging experience. There's a book that I love called Breaking the Age Code by Becca Levy. And she breaks all this down in her work that can make 7.5 years difference in your lifespan, depending on what you believe about aging. It's fascinating. So for everybody, but why not start now if you're younger, and it's never too late to start if you're older, you really start to dismantle what you believe about aging. Yeah. And all bodies, all kinds of bodies, all kinds of ways to live a life, and all kinds of bodies. There's no wrong body.
That is extremely helpful. I love thinking that people can start doing this work now.
Yes.
Untangling themselves from their internalized ageism that they've probably experienced or grown up with. So, well, Deb, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been a lovely and fascinating conversation.
Thank you for including me. And if people want to find me, I have a website that is just my name, DeborahBenfield.com.
Amazing. Oh, and you have a free event coming up very soon, actually. Can you share more?
Thank you for remembering that. I have a free online workshop on August the 30th, and it's at 9 a.m. Pacific time, 12 p.m. Eastern time. All you have to do is go to my website. You can go to my Instagram account, which is at Aging Body Liberation, and you're going to see all sorts of ways to get to the details and the registration for that free online workshop. And it's just really breaking into actual strategies to get into what we're talking about today, aging with body liberation. Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds really good. Okay, so make sure everyone listening, please go sign up for that if this feels like something you'd want to explore and learn more about. And we will definitely have that link in the show notes as well.
Thank you.
Again, Deb, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you taking the time today.
Thank you. Enjoyed the conversation.
Oh, me too. All right, take care.
Thanks.
All right, that concludes this week's episode of the Full and Thriving Podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode of the show. When you have a moment, please head on over to Instagram and follow my recovery coaching account at Meg_McCabe to stay up to date on everything I'm doing in recovery land. And if you're feeling extra inspired, please send me a direct message to let me know how this podcast has impacted your life. I'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next week.